Hello, everyone. Welcome to Lord of Life. I am Pastor Caitlin, and it is a delight to be here with you, whether you are worshiping in person or online. It is such a delight. I want to say thank you to the Jack Brass Band for being here to be our special music today. As you heard from this prelude, that was amazing, and you're in for a great treat for the rest of the worship service as well. In worship today, we have Summer Sundays for Kids, which is for those ages 3 years old to third grade. After the baptism, they will be released through the doors that are directly in front of me. Sonia is waving her hand over there for some faith-filled fun. My kids go every week, and they love it. So if you're 3 years old to third grade, I highly recommend it. Now, I do want to let you know a little bit of some bad news. Brace yourselves. There are no donuts this morning. Okay, wait, hold the phone, Pastor Peter. There are cookies. There is coffee. There is still space to hang out. Come on back. Where we get the donuts from, they have had a fire at their bakery yesterday, and we were not able to get donuts in time, but we do have treats, and it is still a lot of fun, so we will have donuts again next week. All right. Big thank you to David Frank and Dana Craig for also singing, and the band, to Pastor Peter for preaching, our AV team for keeping us looking and sounding good, our hospitality team, and most importantly, thanks be to God for the gift of worship. So let us stand and sing together.
Oh,
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, judge eternal. You love justice and hate oppression, and you call us to share your zeal for truth. Give us courage to take our stand with all victims of bloodshed and greed, and following your servants and prophets, to look to the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And you may be seated, and I'd like to invite forward Ava and her family.
So this is Ava. Ava came to us all the way from Dallas, Texas. They think the weather's kind of cool around here. I baptized Ava's mother, but this is what makes me really feel old. I married her parents. That's what you get when you get me here. Welcome. Welcome to all of you. God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us a new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We are united with all the baptized in the one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world. Now, in Christian love, you have presented Ava for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring her to the services of God's house. Teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As she grows in years, you should place in her hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for her instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of her baptism and in communion with the church, she may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. Do the four of you promise to fulfill these obligations? If so, answer, we do. This time, people of God, I'd ask you to stand, and I have a question for you as well. People of God, do you promise to support Ava and pray for them in their new life in Christ? If so, answer, we do. And now let us all join together and confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And now I ask you these questions. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises? If so, answer, we do. And do you believe in the Christian faith as we've just confessed it in the words of the Apostles' Creed? If so, answer, we do. And do you desire that Ava be baptized into this same Christian faith? If so, answer, we do. All right. I'm going to have you guys just go around on the other side and come over here a little bit. And it's Ava Reese, correct? Put her right on her back. Ava Reese, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Ava, child of God, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Oh, good girl. Mom's trying to keep the dress down a little bit. We do a prayer, but here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to all put a hand on Ava here. Okay, everybody reach in. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Ava with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and reverence of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. And now we'd like to present her with a baptismal candle. And the flame of this candle is symbolic of the Holy Spirit that comes to us in our baptisms and gives us these gifts: the promise of eternal life, the promise of forgiveness of sins, the promise that wherever she goes in this world, and she will go great distances, wherever she goes, God goes with her and knows her name. And the promise that today she becomes part of a new family, and that new family includes all of these folks and Christians around the world who will love her and support her and encourage her throughout all of her years. And Ava, I say to you, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all life, look with kindness upon the father and mother of this child. Let Emily and Daniel ever rejoice in the gift you've given them. Make them teachers and examples of righteousness for Ava. Strengthen them in their own baptism so they may share eternally with Ava the salvation you have given them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, Emily, let's go out here. I want everybody to see this girl. This is the newest member of the body of Christ. This is Ava. Let's welcome her. All right, here we go. We'll walk. Now, you know those people. Don't need them. All right, here. Let's see. The children can head out for children's church today out the back door, and we get this treat from the Jack Brass Band.
Today's reading is from Isaiah chapter 5. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judea judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done for it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes?
And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of its hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but he saw bloodshed and righteousness. But he heard a cry.
That reading is so depressing, it takes two readers to do it. And this one is just as bad, I'm telling you. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Please stand with me as you are able. Jesus said, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three, they will be divided. Father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, "It's going to rain." And south wind blowing, you say, "There will be scorching heat," and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Jesus asks this question today. In today's gospel from Luke, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth?" And my answer is, well, yeah, we could use some peace. That's what I was hoping, that's what I want, that's what I need. Serenity now. And doesn't the gospel of Luke, isn't it all about peace? You know how it starts? Each Christmas Eve, we read that great peaceful story from Luke chapter 2. We bathe in the glow of the baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. It's so peaceful. We sing Silent Night and the angels sing glory to God in the highest and peace to God's people on earth. We cue the snowflakes outside and we all go home happy. That's what I want. I want some Christmas peace. Can't we just have that? Actually, Ricky Bobby, do you know Ricky Bobby from the movie Talladega Nights? He wants that too. Remember his table prayer? Dear Lord Baby Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. Dear tiny infant, 8-pound, 6-ounce Jesus. And here is, if you remember, his wife Carly interrupts him. You know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby. It's a bit off-putting to pray to a baby. Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus best when I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus or teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus or whoever you want. But this is my prayer. Dear tiny Jesus, in your golden fleece diapers. Don't even know a word yet, just a little infant, so cuddly. We just thank you for all the races that I've won and the $21.2 million that I've accrued over the past season. Love that money. Thank you for all your power and grace, dear baby God. Amen. You know, Ricky Bobby's wrong about a lot of things, but he's right about this. Newborn infant Jesus is pleasant to talk about. He's peaceful to pray to. Today, though, we don't have that. We have real words from grown-up bearded Jesus. And they're not that nice. And they're not that easy. Jesus asked, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace on earth?" And then he answers his own question. Not peace, I tell you, but division. No, not the week that I'm preaching again. Why couldn't we have this text next week when it's Caitlin? I'll just say, a little word of advice. You come back next week, see how nice a gospel reading Pastor Caitlin gets next week. But there it is. Jesus came not to bring peace, but division. What do we make of that? Well, when we look at Jesus elsewhere in the Gospel of Luke, we see that actually Jesus did create division. Remember, Jesus walks up to the fishermen, James and John, and he says, "Follow me." And they just dropped what they were doing. They got up, they left, and they followed him, leaving their dad Zebedee holding the fishing nets. That couldn't have been good for the family business, could it? Or family harmony? My guess is it caused division. And do you remember when Jesus returned to his hometown of Nazareth? He stood up in the pulpit to preach, and he read from the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me," Jesus said, "to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to set the oppressed free." And when his family and friends gathered that day in the synagogue, didn't hear anything about tax breaks or jobs for them in the new Jesus administration, they were furious. They drove him out of town, right? And they were about to throw Jesus off a cliff when he shook the dust off his shoes and walked away. There was a lot of division for Christians who were living in the first century, because following Jesus meant that you were challenging the status quo, which made people nervous and uncomfortable and even angry, much like it still can do today. Following Jesus meant that you had to wonder why some people had so much and other people had so little. Following Jesus meant you would start doing things that maybe your family didn't approve of, things like giving away your possessions or eating meals with people who made your mother nervous or choosing to pray for people who had been your enemies for generations. Being Jesus' disciple could get you into trouble, not only with those in power, but even with those whom you loved. Will Willimon was the campus chaplain at Duke University, and he told a story about an encounter that he had with the father of a graduating student. The father called his office and exploded over the phone. I hold you personally responsible for this," the father said. The father was angry because his graduate school-bound daughter had decided, in the father's own words, to throw it all away and go do mission work in Haiti with the Presbyterian Church. The father screamed, "Isn't that absurd? She has a Bachelor of Science degree from Duke University, and she's going to go dig ditches in Haiti? I hold you responsible for this." Well, Willimon wasn't easily intimidated, So he asked, well, why me? The father replied, you ingratiated yourself and you filled her with all of that religion stuff. Willimon was quick to reply, sir, weren't you the one who had her baptized? Well, yes. And didn't you take her to Sunday school when she was a little girl? Yeah. Well, and didn't you allow your daughter to go on those youth mission trips when she was in high school? Yes, but what does that have to do with anything, the father said. Sir Willimon concluded, you are the reason she's throwing it all away. You introduced her to Jesus, not me. But, said the father, all we really wanted was a Presbyterian. Well, sorry, sir, you messed up. You've gone and made yourself a disciple. Not everyone's going to be happy when you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because a tension exists for all of us who try and follow Jesus. We all ask ourselves these questions. Why should I come to church on Sunday mornings? Why should I, would I share my money that I work so hard to earn? Why should I be compassionate and caring towards others instead of caring for my own needs? Why should I stand up for these values that are going to bring me into conflict with people who I really do love? One day a pastor was lamenting why more people didn't come to her church. And a friend said to her, go easy on yourself. Most folks are smart enough to figure out that if they give their lives to Christ, it's only going to make their lives more difficult. I think it's amazing that you get as many people to come to Jesus as you do. It may not be that people don't understand who Jesus is, but that they understand all too well what Jesus demands of us. It's not easy being a Christian. At the beginning of this morning's gospel, Jesus says, I've come to cast fire upon the earth. Now, fire is both scary, right? Think out of control wildfires. But fire is also beautiful. Think standing around the campfire on a warm summer night making s'mores. It's both. And today, Jesus is saying that he's a God of fire. This biblical God is burning with holiness, with zero tolerance for evil and immorality. God wants justice. He holds accountable those who hurt children and pollute the planet and greedily ignore the needs of the poor. But at the same time, God is burning with a grace and love that refuses to stop until God has made us his own. The biblical God is both demanding and loving at the same time. Jesus does bring us the peace of God which passes all understanding. But he also gives us a vision for a disciple that will feed the hungry and clothe the naked, care for the sick, visit those in prison, fight against racism, turn the other cheek, not be judgmental, share what we have with the poor, maybe even dig ditches in Haiti. It's not easy being a Christian. Now, every sermon that I preach emphasizes one thing more than the other. There just isn't time to cover the whole truth. And yes, Jesus is a source of peace and comfort in our lives. It's not always about division. Sometimes Jesus is a prophet who comforts those who are afflicted. But at other times, Jesus' words must necessarily afflict those who are too comfortable. Both things are true. But make no mistake about this. that if you only want the baby Jesus lying in a manger, if you only see Jesus as one who is gentle and meek and mild, you are missing out on the fact that grown-up bearded Jesus is a lot more complicated than that, and that sometimes he's looking for a fight. Amen.
Stand as you are able. Trusting in God's extraordinary love, let us come near to the Holy One in prayer. Arise, O God, and sustain your people. We pray for all who dedicate their lives to serving others. Equip us to work toward the healing love of God, even when it is difficult or divisive. Renew our commitment to our siblings in faith around the globe and bless the work of our ecumenical and interfaith partners. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Sustain your creation. We pray for all places affected by natural disasters. This week we pray especially for the people and lands in Kentucky. Transform the devastation of floods and fires into fertile ground for new life and growth. Fill heaven and earth with your life-giving spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Nurture the nations to be equitable places for all people. We pray for all elected officials. Kindle in them a desire to administer your justice. Strengthen their resolve to defend those who are vulnerable and to stand publicly against all forms of oppression. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this community. Strengthen the ties that weave us together, creating space for relationships to grow and flourish, celebrating with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. In our joy and in our tears, be near us. Lifting up all who need healing this day, enfold them with care, especially Harper Kazowick, and Wayne Irene, and those we now name on our hearts. and mourning with those who mourn. Be near to all who are grieving. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we remember those who have gone before us, those journeying with us today, and those whom we will meet in the future. May we run with perseverance the race set before us until we find our rest in you. Celebrating in the gifts of baptism, we rejoice with Ava, baptized today. And we extend our joy to the newly married, Jill and Tim, Sarah and Ben, Rebecca and Thomas. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive the prayers of your children, merciful God, and hold us forever in your steadfast love. Through Jesus Christ, our holy wisdom, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share a sign of peace with one another. Wonderful. You all sat down without me saying anything. This is great. Oh, please be seated. Well, over the river and through the woods, all right, really just down a long hallway to the other side of Lord of Life's building is our service center. This is where Lord of Life organizes all of its donated items to help people in need. We gather clothing and housewares for Gethsemane Lutheran Church, toiletries and hygiene items for Freedom Works, backpacks and vegetables for Cross Food Services, and the list goes on and on. I mean, notice all of those bins. Thanks to your generous giving, both financial and otherwise, Lord of Life is able to maintain strong relationships with our ministry partners so we can care for people in our community who need help. Thank you so much. Giving can be done in any of the ways listed on the screen, including the passing of the plates that will happen in just a moment. If online or text to give makes sense for you and your family, please feel free to pull out your phone as an act of worship. Again, thank you so much for your generosity. Thank you. Please stand as you are able, and I invite you to dance with the next song. As you go into your week, may God give you courage to walk in the paths of peace, patience to outlast the troubles of the day, joy that radiates from the inside out, and love that erases barriers and heals wounds. May God go with you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Children of God, loved beyond measure, sent to serve the world.